Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. Can you believe that we are in April? I have said this before, but it seemed like January was about 1,100 days long, and then the rest of this year has just gone by so quickly, but we've been waiting forever for Easter. Easter is this weekend. I hope that you are going to church somewhere for Easter Sunday, and our pastor shared with us on Sunday that the majority of Americans polled said that they would go to church with someone. They would accept that invitation to go to church on Easter Sunday if they were simply asked. So here is your reminder to ask someone to go to church with you. You still have a few days. You have enough time for notice to add somebody to your Easter brunch or whatever you're going to do, but I hope that you will invite somebody to go to church with you. And because we're having Good Friday on Friday, I won't be here on Friday. We'll have some great shows for you, but we're going to have Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday on a Thursday this week. So tomorrow I'll be talking about the healthy habit of the week, which is modeling your faith. And I'll answer some questions that I've been getting about Easter, what you should do, Easter basket, Easter bunny, yes or no. I'll have the answer for that. And I'm also going to talk about the new teen accounts on Instagram, the social media parental controls that are there. I've been getting a lot of questions about that. So I'll be answering questions about that. If you've been missing out on the 52 Habits for Healthy Families, never fear. We have you covered. You can go to any podcast streaming platform that you listen to. You can go to AFR.net. You can download AFR's app, and you can look for the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. That's just 1 minute catch-ups. We talked about some spiritual disciplines at the first 4 weeks of the year. Then we moved into some rhythms for your family. Then we've been talking about communication skills, and it has been deeply convicting. I've heard from a lot of you, especially that show we talked about apologizing. Oof, that is a hard thing to do. I'm learning right along there with you. But today we have a really special treat. I feel like we have a very special VIP guest. We have none other than, I feel like we need a drum roll here, Richard. We have Ed Vitaliano on our show today. And many of you I know Ed, love Ed, listen to Ed on today's issues, but he is here today. So if you hear his voice, which is pretty distinctive, don't think, is it 2 o'clock? Am I missing? Is it my time off? Nope, it's 2 o'clock and he's here. So Ed, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really delighted to have you here.
I am excited to be here. In fact, I am so excited. Your listeners don't know this, but I think 2 weeks ago, after I got the invite to be on your show, I didn't pay attention to the date, and I was down here in the studio ready to go, and Richard, your producer, looked at me like, uh-oh, we've got some kind of mix-up. So I've been looking forward to this for 2 or 3 weeks.
You know, I wasn't going to rat you out, Ed. For the record, I did not rat you out. And it was really hard to tell you, I'm so sorry. We already have somebody
not
booked.
Today.
You're so special. You're so important. I would love to bump that.
Yes, but, you know, I've been called Special Ed all my life. So thank you for that.
Well, oh, you're welcome. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, now I feel like, how do I dig myself out of that? Well, one of the things we were talking about, Ed, is your background. As I was looking about where you grew up, and now I found out that your family is half Greek, half Italian. I thought it was Italian because Vitaliano.
Yeah.
And grew up in New Hampshire. That my husband did the same thing, grew up in a Catholic Italian family in New Hampshire. How did you end up ministering in Mississippi? Tell me this story. This is a story I need to know.
Yeah, this is I'm going to give you the end part of the answer first. Okay. In other words, how I got to Mississippi, because it's kind of a long journey from New England to New Mexico. I'll give you that second. But after I became a Christian, I felt called into the ministry, and my family, well, I guess I'll give you a little bit of this. My dad moved the whole family to New Mexico. He was an engineer and was a project manager at White Sands Missile Base in New Mexico. working on the Patriot missile system and the MX missile system, building components for that. And my sister and I, I'm the oldest. My sister's about a year younger. We were in New Mexico, and my sister became a born-again Christian. My parents were living in Las Cruces, New Mexico. My sister was going to college up in Albuquerque at the University of New Mexico. She became a born-again Christian, and we had never heard of that. As you mentioned, we grew up in New England. I was born in the Boston area, lived for a while in the Boston area as a child, but did most of my growing up across the state line in Nashua, New Hampshire. And so I never had – God reached into my life on several occasions, but I never heard the gospel preached until my sister came home on a weekend. I was home from Boston College for the summer, and she started talking about being born again. And I was on the debate team 4 years in high school, 3 years in college, and I argued and argued and argued with her. But she just kept her cool and kept preaching the gospel, and it just stuck in my head and in my heart, and God started to work on me. So I'll speed things up a little bit. The whole family wound up getting saved in about 2 months' time.
Wow.
And I went. I decided not to go back to New England, went to the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque, continuing on my plan to go into law, and I just kept feeling that God wanted me in the ministry. And I wound up, after getting saved, I wound up going to Bible college, met my wife there in Dallas, Texas. She was from Mississippi. And we wound up getting married. I finished my last year of Bible college in California. We wound up moving to Mississippi to work with her home church. And I have been, with the exception of 1 year, I have lived in Mississippi since 1985 and came to American Family Association in 96. So all my relatives up north think I have a southern accent because I say y'all and fixin' to. And people down here, every once in a while, if I get excited about something and talk about packing the car, they say, yeah, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? So that's how I got here, is my wife. And God's leading, of course, to the state of Mississippi. Our kids were born here and grew up here, and my grandkids are here, so we ain't moving.
You know, Ed, I love so much about that story, and I shared a little bit with you before we went on that you share so many commonalities with my husband and the way that he grew up. He grew up in a family. He was, altar boy or whatever the Catholic, He went to Catholic confirmation classes, all of those kinds of things. I grew up in an Italian family. His dad was also an engineer, so moved around a lot. I know, construction engineer, and moved from New Jersey to New Hampshire, and even through all of that, he met this girl from Texas, Ed. You see where I'm going?
Yes.
And his whole family has come to know Christ. His dad is an ordained deacon. His mom, his sisters are Sunday school teachers. And, it's amazing to know, like, a girl can do that to you.
Yes,
you can say, be very convincing,
absolutely.
Like, live here.
I tell people I joke around because I do have friends who are Catholic and who are Orthodox, and they say, well, how did you wind up an evangelical? And this is what I tell them, and I think it's the truth. My dad was Catholic. He was raised Catholic. My mom was raised Greek Orthodox. And when they got married, they couldn't decide what to do with the kids in terms of religion. So we didn't do anything. I went to church maybe three times my whole life growing up. They just couldn't decide, and I tell my friends who are Catholic or Orthodox, then the filthy Protestants got their hands on me. So that is how I wound up an evangelical.
Well, I love it. And my family still gets the same side eye about their accent because they think they have a Texas accent. But then every once in a while, it's a yeah that comes out. I can't even do it. That was really pitiful.
Was that supposed to be New England?
I know. And that's so embarrassing. I just felt them cringe from here. Or they'll ask me if I want my cheesesteak widowed out. And I'm like,
That may be a little New Jersey. That's a little New Jersey.
That's New Jersey. That's right.
I made my wife laugh this morning. This is now, we've been married 43 years,
Congratulations.
And yes, I told her something this morning she had never heard me say.
Okay.
And I said, I was listening to this guy. He's from the Boston area. He posts some things on X sometimes. And he does Boston vocabulary. Okay.
Okay.
And I was told my wife, I said, I heard a guy this morning talking about the bubbla. And she said, the bubbla? I said, yeah, that's what we called growing up. We called the water fountain the water bubbla.
You did not.
Yes, because it was supposed to be water bubbler. And we called it the water bubbla. And I told my wife that, and she lost it. She said, I have never heard you say that. And I said, that's because I've been living down here all this time. Hey, where's the water bubbla?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I absolutely love it. And you actually, one of the articles, the first when I first started here, because I'm still the baby on the block as far as the shows go. But right when I first started here, you wrote a really beautiful tribute in The Stand called The Final Goodbye. And you wrote it to your dad. And you talked about what the lessons that your dad taught me: hard work, respect for authority, love, laughter, and family. I would love for you just to share some of those tributes. And it's so encouraging, Ed, to hear about your family coming to know Christ later in life, you know, because we know from Dr. George Barna, he talks about how important it is before the age of 13, and we're focusing on kids, but it is possible that, you know, you can come to know Christ later. And you had such a great tribute to your dad. I would love for you to share a little of that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I had written one. I'm not sure if it's still available. I wrote one for my mom. She died in 1998. So being allowed to write for a magazine, you get to lay those things out there in written form. But I grew up in a moral middle class home. We were not explicitly Christian, but we oftentimes hear about America living off the Christian heritage and the Christian principles that have infused themselves into our culture. So I grew up in a moral middle-class home that stressed hard work, respect for family, love for country. And, of course, I tell people that's not enough to get you into heaven. But it did lay a groundwork to make me feel guilty, at least, when I heard the gospel preached. And here I was relying on being good enough, but you start to get a sense of just how far away from the glory of God we actually are. And my dad was a good father, and he's very strict, and he's former Marine, and so 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, I woke up to Marine Corps marching music coming from downstairs. My dad would actually walk up the stairs and blow a whistle and say, "Reveille." He taught me things like, if you find nothing to do with your hands, that's the devil's workshop. I think idle hands are the devil's workshop. Now, we didn't believe in the devil, but that was a good principle. And so, my dad, I don't remember my dad telling me he loved me past a certain age, certainly not in junior high school or college. But when we all got saved, I started telling my dad that I loved him. And we wound up having a very loving relationship. I always knew he loved me, but in terms of him being able to say it, he came from a generation where that was hard to say. And God just worked so many wonderful things out as he began to work in our lives. And I just want to encourage your listeners to continue to pray for family members. Not every family is all going to get saved, 1 through 5, like we did over the course of a couple months, but it can happen. God has that kind of power. So just want to encourage people, keep praying. You never know what God has in mind for family and loved ones.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back on the other side of this break with more from Ed Vitaliano, and we are going to talk to you about the Activate Summit that American Family Association is having this summer in Tupelo, Mississippi. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And we'll talk about how you can influence your family's worldview, and we hope to see you there. We'll see you on the other side of this break. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. That is Do It Again by Elevation Worship. And we have a really special treat today to have none other than Ed Battagliano. And if you were listening in the first segment, I was so paranoid about saying this wrong, and apparently I did. So I tried to make the G in your name silent, Ed. I hope we can still be friends.
Yes, we can. And okay, to be honest, that is actually the Italian way of pronouncing my name.
Maybe that's just what it is.
It's Italiano, my husband's.
There you go. Yeah. Like, it's my husband's family.
That's right.
Rubbing off on me. They've already taught me how to talk with my hands. Actually, I'll tell you this really quick, Ed. It was funny because, you know, I mean, I was this demure Southern girl. You know, you were very polite and you held in your emotions. And there was one time where we were having a heated discussion, as one of my guests said, some intense fellowship as a family. And they said, I was trying to tell my husband, you know, okay, well, I feel this way. Why don't you just say this? And they're like, no, ma'am. You say if you're upset. And so they said, if you're angry, say you're angry. And so finally I said very, very meekly, Ed, I said, well, I'm angry. And they all started clapping and cheering. They're like, yeah, she's angry.
Oh, listen, when I get together with my sisters and that side of the family, it is loud. It's even sometimes a little bit obnoxious, but people say exactly what they think, and then they say, "Hey, pass the meatballs." You know, I mean, it's just you just expect it. And I grew up, and with my cousins, you were either eaten or you were part of the group that ate somebody. So you didn't want to be the one who was the victim. You stood up for yourself. So.
Well, that is how it is. Even at the American Family Association, and you've been a part of the family at AFA for so long, Ed, and you have been so instrumental in so many of the ministries and in the leadership and the direction that they're going. And I'm so grateful to be a part of the AFA family. I always say, I feel like I need to bring my listeners a casserole because that's how they made me feel welcome. You know, I'm like, I got to bring you some food because that's what we do. And AFA is having a really great opportunity this summer with the Activate Summit in 2025 in June 12th through 14th. It's going to be at Cadence Bank Conference Center. I've been there to conferences that AFA have had before. It's such a charming place. Great places to eat, really charming town. And we want families to bring their kids there this summer for the Activate Summit. So tell us all about it.
Absolutely. And just to let folks know, the special pricing for the conference, there are some cheaper rates. Those end on Friday, so April 18th, so the day after tomorrow. So you'll want to visit activate.afa.net/summit, activate.afa.net, and check that out. Jessica, the genesis of this Activate Summit is the Activate curriculum. It's a worldview training curriculum. It was really the brainchild of Wesley Wildman when he would go to hold events with our supporters. Invariably, they would come up to him and say, now this is sad, but they would say, our pastor doesn't want to preach on these cultural issues. He doesn't want to make waves, but we need training. We need to know how to defend the Christian worldview and how to answer when people challenge it. And so that is what the curriculum is all about. And it can be done individually or in small groups or in churches. But what we're going to be doing each summer for at least the next 5 years is we're taking one of the five topics covered, general topics covered in that curriculum, and we are going to have a summit. And to start it off, we are going to be talking about the authority of Scripture, because everything else in our worldview flows from the Scripture. So whether it's about human sexuality, gender, marriage and family, pro-life, what have you, all of that flows from the Scripture. So the name of this year's Activate Summit is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And we're going to have five speakers. I'll be one of them, but I am on the bottom of the list compared to who else we have. We have Abraham Hamilton III, Alex McFarland, Dr. Frank Turek, and Todd Herman, all addressing certain areas of this overall topic of the authority of Scripture. My particular speech will be on the subject of biblical authority and false prophets. And I will deal with some of the biblical angle of that, but I'm also going to bring in, and this is probably something that would interest you, the fact that false prophets are being allowed into our very homes through media and entertainment. I don't think many parents would knowingly invite a false prophet into the home and sit the family down and on the couch and say, okay, let's listen to what this person has to say. But we do that when it comes to social media and entertainment. And so I will broaden the subject to talk about that aspect, and then also political false prophets that are a challenge to the Christian worldview.
Well, I feel like, Ed, you just invited me to jump up on a soapbox. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that invitation because I agree with this wholeheartedly. And actually, this year on the show, we've been having something called Worldview Wednesday, which we're having right here today with you. And thank you so much for being our guest on that. But we're walking through a book that Josh Mulvihill wrote about having a biblical worldview. And of course, we've talked to Dr. George Barna about the importance of biblical worldview, how it's very difficult to change after the age of 13. Although, Ed, you'll appreciate this, I always feel like when I talk about Dr. Barna, I have to say he is a brilliant man, but there is a big point of disagreement between me and George, my friend George. He's a Yankees fan, Ed.
Oh.
He loves the Yankees.
That spoils so much.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
But if you can put that aside, he's got some great things to say about biblical worldview. But the soapbox that I was going to say is that I believe that a crisis of worldview is really contributing to the mental health pandemic that we're seeing in kids today, the crisis of anxiety and depression,
yes.
Because everything is changing all the time. What is celebrated today is canceled tomorrow. Nothing stays the same. Anything that they say, they're living in cancel culture. They're worried that one errant word that they speak on social media or make a mistake, you know, that can really change their whole lives. And you're right. Parents are so worried about their kids being kidnapped on the street by somebody who is going to put them into human trafficking, but they don't worry about the literal thousands of strangers who are invited into their home on a daily basis to influence their kids' worldview. And when we see the algorithm and how that works, kids are naturally curious. And as they're scrolling through, they're doom scrolling through their social media,
right.
They may just have a little bit of curiosity. They may stop. They may pause. They may click on a link. They may listen to someone. And then all of a sudden, the algorithm is feeding them more and more content like that. And their worldview is being shaped by this right under their parents' noses. And that is a really, really scary thing. So we've been talking about that. And actually, the Worldview Wednesdays we're going to have with Josh Mulvihill this summer are all about the scripture, all about the inerrancy of scripture, the authority of scripture, and how the Bible is so important. But you know, when I'm looking at the Bible, honestly, Ed, when you talking about cultural issues, when you look at the New Testament and what those letters are written about, and I'm sorry, I'm having some construction noise outside. This is just welcome to real life.
I thought someone was cutting your grass and they're coming into your living room.
Yeah, it's not my stomach growling. It is noise. So I'm sorry. We'll push through that. But you know, when we look at the New Testament, Ed, some of the things that are written about are the relationships between the Jews and the Gentile, the roles of women, what about food laws, what food you can eat, about marriage, about divorce, about sexual morality, about economic wealth, and what are the ethics of that? I mean, all of those things are talked about in the New Testament, and we've got to equip our kids to navigate today's culture. We've got to lean in and talk about this. And so I want to know, why is it so important for Christians to understand the authority of Scripture from your view?
Well, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, I think, just highlights the decision that Christians are going to have to make over the coming years. And the incident I'm talking about is from Exodus 32. We're familiar with a lot of it. Moses is on the mountain of God receiving the Ten Commandments. The people have turned away from God and worship the golden calf. I mean, they apostatized just that quickly. So God and Moses have a conversation about what's happened. The people, God tells Moses, have corrupted themselves. And Moses goes down from the mountain to his people, and there's a confrontation centered around the golden calf, and Moses cries out, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And that's from the King James Version. The New American Standard says, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And I love that, because the choices for most Christians in most cultures are that stark. Now, we've gotten a free ride for a long time because Christianity really built the foundations of our country and the institutions of our country. But as we know, a lot of that has crumbled away. It is willingly, knowingly been replaced by enemies of the gospel and enemies of our Constitution. So now we're having to make this choice as well. You know, who are we going to be on the Lord's side, or are we going to be on the side of the golden calf? Now, I don't know what Hollywood was like in terms of the people who made movies and acted in movies up until, I don't know, maybe the 1990s, but certainly after the year 2000. But we know what a lot of those people think now. They are explicit in their hatred for God, and they hate the world that God created and the way he created mankind, male and female. They don't even they despise even that model. And so we are finding out who is on the Lord's side and who isn't. And I'm not talking about casting these people aside when we hear what they believe. Pray for them. Pray for God to send people to them to bear witness to them. But we are clearly coming to a place where parents are going to have to make stark decisions about whether their kids can do this or do that, because the enemies of the gospel are coming out front and center. And that's why the Word of God is so important. If you're going to be on God's side, you have to know the Word, love the Word, and submit to the Word, because the consequences of not doing so are only going to grow more severe.
You know, one of the things that Josh Mulvihill and I were talking about is being intentional about developing a biblical worldview. Most Christian families would say, yes, I want my family to have a biblical worldview, but you really have to be intentional about that. It's not going to just happen without any effort. It's not even going to happen just taking your kids to church every Sunday. It's not enough. Kids need more support than that. They really need us to be a guide on the side, to come alongside them and to see the world that they're living in. And you know, one of the things that I see a lot, Ed, is that as parents of this newer generation of Gen Z, Gen Alpha, we so badly don't want the world to be the way that it is. We want to go back to Andy Griffith and Hyde Mayberry and have this, you know, ideal world that we kind of think about and some of the things that were simpler times when we grew up. But Ed, I really feel like we have to acknowledge the reality of what kids are living in today. And a lot of parents, they think, oh, I don't want to expose my kids to some things that they haven't been exposed to yet. And in a world where we're living at the speed of a smartphone that is saturated by screens, that's really impossible. That ship has sailed. And yes, we should do everything that we possibly can to protect our kids from unnecessary exposures. We need to try to be as protective as possible. But we also need to be realistic in equipping them to deal with the things that are happening in the world. And if we expose them to the things that they will be exposed to in a developmentally appropriate way, positioning ourselves as the experts with an open door, you can come and ask us anytime, and setting all of that on the authority of Scripture, that is going to give kids the confidence that they need. And as you were talking about that story from Exodus, which I'll be watching the Ten Commandments with my family this weekend. That's an Easter tradition for sure. But it reminds me of a story also from Joshua. So when Moses dies, you know, Joshua goes in and he's about to go and take Jericho. And I'm going to read this really quickly, Ed, from Joshua 5. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, neither. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And it just convicted me about, you know, we think, oh, is God on our side? But the question is, are we on God's side? And that's the question we need to be asking about our families and the way that we need to protect them in this world. So this summit is Activate Summit, June 12th through 14th. Ed, tell us where we can go. What's the website?
Yes, it's activate.afa.net/summit, or you can just go to activate.afa.net and you can probably find the summit information from there.
Well, after this break, I'll be back with more from Ed Vitagliano. We'll be talking more about helping your kids develop a biblical worldview and the things that they're doing at American Family Association to come alongside with you, to engage you, equip you, encourage you, and empower you to do just that. Again, go to activate.afa.net/summit, and you can find out about bringing your family to Tupelo, Mississippi this June. We hope to see you there, and we'll see you on the other side of this break.
This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Who told you grace can't reach the messed up ones like you? How's the devil made you believe the lies he tells are true when you're sure that you're the one who's wandered too far off? It's not too late. Just come home to the cross. Come and see.
Welcome back, friends. That is The Cross by Ann Wilson and Chris Tomlin. And in the middle of this Holy Week between Palm Sunday and Easter, I really want to encourage you to invite somebody to church. There is something so powerful about celebrating the hope of the resurrection. It is so much more meaningful when we share that with others. And my pastor shared with us and challenged us on Sunday and said that when polled, most Americans said they would accept an invitation to go to church. So this Easter, I want you to think about someone in your life who could use a fresh start, who could use some light, some hope, some community. And sometimes all it takes is just a simple invitation to open the door to faith, to healing, to new life. Do not underestimate what God can do through obedience by just inviting a friend, inviting a neighbor, inviting a family member. So I challenge you now to make a plan and challenge the people in your family. Have a challenge for everybody to invite somebody. You never know how one small invitation could change a life forever. That is how my husband's life was changed by a friend inviting him to church, and I encourage you to do the same. And we are so blessed today to be talking to Ed Vitagliano. I'm sure many of you listened to him on today's issues. You might be thinking, is this the right time of day? Yes, it is, because he's here today to talk with us about the Activate Summit that is happening in Tupelo, Mississippi this summer. The pricing goes up after Friday. So go to activate.afa.net/summit and get your tickets. Bring your family. There is a kids program for age 6 to 12. It is absolutely free for kids 5 and under. And the theme is a biblical bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture. Now, I'll be talking about this a lot this summer with Josh Mulvihill. Tune in for Worldview Wednesdays, where we'll talk all this summer. We'll have three shows where we're talking about Scripture, about where God's Word came from and the authority of it, the inerrancy of it, and all of the things that you ever wanted to know about the Bible. We'll be starting to dive into that and talk about that. Ed, I would love to know from your seat at AFA, what is AFA doing besides the summit? Yes, we have this. What are other ways that you are working to be a light, to be salt and light in this culture of chaos?
Well, thank you for that question. And, you know, part of our mission statement is, because AFA does want to inform, equip, and activate Christians to get involved in the culture and to be about the business of cultural transformation. But the second half of our mission statement is AFA wants to be a help, an aid to the church in its fulfillment of the Great Commission. Because we all know, even folks who are neck deep in politics and the culture wars, if you're a Christian, I hope, understand that politics can't save America. Donald Trump can't save America. The Republicans can't save America. The culture wars can't save America. Only God can save America. And Amen. So we want to make sure. That's why we have not only preaching programs, outright preaching programs and Bible teaching programs on our network, but we also handle cultural issues, trends, politics, from a Christian perspective, because we always want to point people back to the Word of God. So everything we do has that in mind. So we have American Family Studios, who produced the Worldview training curriculum called Activate. That's what the summit in June is based on. American Family Studios also produces Cultural Institutes, the Impact Series, which we're very excited about, which takes the story of individuals across the country, 30 minutes. We tell the story. Most of these people aren't even connected to AFA. We're just highlighting stories of Christians who try to make a difference in their culture. We have AFS has made documentaries, The God Who Speaks, which is about biblical authority, how we got the Bible, In His Image, which is about human sexuality and gender. The most recent is Culture Warrior. It's the story of Don Wildman, who started American Family Association and the battles that were fought when this ministry was young. But beyond that, we have American Family Radio. We have a magazine. We have a blog site. We have American Family News. And all the support staff that help get all that content out is all geared towards getting Christians active in their culture and helping the church. So I came here in 1996. I was in charge of making a couple documentaries. Brother Don told me to make them. I said, I don't know anything about this. He said, well, figure it out. Now, now we have a studio, American Family Studios, with young people who have gone to college for this. So those are the kind of ways that God has blessed this ministry to expand its impact, and we're just very grateful. Listen, I was just telling Richard during the break, I said, she's fantastic, talking about you.
Oh,
I said,
my goodness.
Yes, I said, we are so blessed to have her on. So God has brought just superb people here to kind of unpack what everyone is seeing, may not understand it, or what we can do about it. And so God has been good to AFA, and we're thankful for all the people who support us.
Well, now apparently I have to thank Richard for slipping you some money during the break plug.
No money, Pat, changed hands.
I love it. Well, it has been such an honor and a joy, Ed, to be part of the AFR family. And it is my joy every day to sit in the seat at 2 p.m. Central Time and to prescribe hope for healthy families, because that is what families are longing for. We have a world that is filled with shifting values and very loud opinions and constant digital noise. And culture is stepping into the void where we are having parents who are distracted, parents who have their faces and their smartphones, parents who are just doing everything they can. We're so obsessed, Ed, and I'm talking to myself. We're obsessed with, where are our kids going to go to college? What sports are they going to play? Right. And I'm seeing the landscape of that with the new NIL changes just really change dramatically. And if we don't step in and give our kids a biblical bedrock, then culture is going to do that for us. And we have that sacred responsibility to anchor our children in truth that doesn't change with culture. We can see a very different culture when we look at in our Bible, a biblical culture, but those core issues, the heart issues, the sin issues, those are all the same. And Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And sometimes when parents get overwhelmed thinking about all of these new challenges that are facing us, we have to remember that there's nothing new under the sun. All of those things are really the same. And it's so important to have a biblical worldview, to see everything through the lens of Scripture. And we know that Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the wise man builds his house on the rock, and that rock is God's word. And if we are not intentionally building our families on God's truth, we are going to be building our house on shifting sand. And so we have to think about, are we normalizing our faith? Are we prioritizing our faith? Are we living it out daily? And thinking about, I mean, really, the things I think about, Ed, are we modeling convenience or conviction? Because that's really a core thing that can drive some of our behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, that parable at the end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, for those who build on sand, the ruin of that house will be great. Listen, I'm going to say something, and for some of your listeners, this is probably going to sting, okay?
Okay, meaning me, probably.
No,
I'm bracing myself.
Really, all of us. I have regrets in terms of, you know, things that I probably didn't hold to like I should have. But here's what I want to say. As the contrast between God's people and the world and our culture becomes more and more stark, mm-hmm. parents are going to have to make the decision about whether, like we've been talking about, you're talking about with Joshua and mm-hmm. from Exodus chapter 32, am I going to stick with God's word even if it costs me personally? Now, mm-hmm. what I'm thinking about is Romans chapter 14, where Paul talks about Christian liberty. And what he says is, there may be many, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm mm-hmm. shortening the chapter a little, the lesson. There may be things that you parents feel like you have the freedom to watch or the freedom to do, and it may not be sin for you, okay? But your kids are watching. And what Paul was saying is, and now he was talking about adults. I'm transforming this a little bit and talking about parents and their lesson for their kids, okay? He says, if what you have the freedom to do hurts your brother's faith, then you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And for parents, what are your choices when you stream? What are you watching? Are you not only trying to conform your life to what the scripture says, but what is the impact you have on your kids if they come up to you and you're watching something or they overhear something that you're watching and they say, I thought we're not supposed to say that. I thought we're not supposed to do that. If you are not careful, you can damage the faith of your children. This is heavy. I told you this is going to sting.
Yeah,
but this is what Paul's saying. This isn't the Andy Griffith days. This isn't mm-hmm. even the 70s.
No.
We are talking about the enemies of God, okay, teaching children in our libraries that they may not be in the right body and drag queen story. We're talking about a complete distinction and contrast, and I think parents are going to have to make those hard decisions. I can't risk my child's soul by watching this, even if I understand good and evil to the extent that I think I can watch this and not be affected by it. I just think the choices in the coming years are going to get that stark. Regardless of what President Trump is able to do in the political realm, this country is sick at heart, and it's got a long way to go before it reflects anything of the foundations upon which it was built. I think Christians are going to have to make those kind of stark decisions. We see that with Disney and things like that. More and more Christians are going, you know what? We're not watching that. I'm not taking my kids to see this Disney movie because they have this character in it. It's important that Christian parents are willing to make that tough call.
You know, that's a big truth bomb that you just laid at our feet, but it is so important. It's so convicting, and we have to be willing to call that out, and I have to be willing to be convicted myself. And I think about the question I posed earlier, are we modeling convenience or conviction? Are we modeling comfort or calling? Because maybe you're thinking, you know, oh, well, that's just a show that I like to watch. And again, just thinking about what are we modeling to our kids? Are we modeling listening to culture's voice or Christ? And we might think, oh, well, of course we're modeling in our faith. And that's actually the habit this week that we're talking about, is modeling your faith. Because kids can sniff a fake and a phony
right.
from a mile away. If you are the do what I say, not what I do parent, they see that. And we have to model that. And so the questions to ask yourself as you're listening, do your children know why you believe what you believe?
Yeah.
Are you modeling a faith that shapes how you're responding to the news? Are you responding in fear? Are you responding in faith? Does it influence how you treat others, how you make those decisions, just like you were talking about, Ed, and streaming media or whatever it is? And are you equipping your family to stand firm and to think critically and to live compassionately in a world full of chaos and confusion. And, you know, Ed, the really great thing is that I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future.
Yeah, amen.
And to me, I don't see that as a cliche. I see that as a way to live. And I hope that people will be encouraged to intentionally cultivate a biblical worldview, whether that's coming to the summit or whether that is engaging with other resources provided by the American Family Association, plugging into your local church, whatever it is, I hope you will think and pray about being intentional. So Ed, I want to give you one last call for everybody to encourage everybody to sign up before those prices go up after Friday.
Amen. And I do want to encourage parents, that grace and mercy is available. So God's got your
every
back.
Morning.
Every morning. Yes, the June 12th through the 14th, Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture, Activate Summit 2025. For more information, go to activate.afa.net/summit. That's activate.afa.net.
Well, Ed Vitagliano, it has been an absolute honor. I just had to get that in there one last time. Say, I got it now.
I got it.
Making sure I say
Thank
it right.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. And listen to my listeners. I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I can't wait to see you back here tomorrow for Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday on a Thursday. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.